Welcome to the latest edition of the Clinical Radiology Podcast, presented by myself, Dr. Keerthi Muthuswamy. It is my great pleasure to be joined by Dr. Olwyn Westerland, a consultant radiologist at Guy's and St. Thomas's, to discuss her recent clinical radiology paper on current imaging practice in myeloma. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Westerland. To start with, can you please tell us a bit about your background and interest in myeloma?
Certainly. So I'm a consultant radiologist at Guy's and St. Thomas's NHS Trust, and I specialise in oncological imaging with interests in haematological malignancies, particularly including myeloma. And as a trainee in 2014, we set up our whole body MRI clinical service for myeloma patients at our centre, and this presented a natural opportunity really for me to become involved in the research element of that work. This seemed like a natural opportunity, particularly given at that time there seemed to be an unmet need for advanced imaging in myeloma patients, and I was able to apply for one of the RCR grants, which allowed me to undertake a pilot study looking at PET MRI in myeloma patients. So I basically completed a research MD part-time as a junior radiology consultant, with one aspect being the PET MR trial. And at the moment, I'm focusing on improving imaging assessment of myeloma using advanced modalities such as whole body MRI and PET MRI in the research setting. I'm also quite interested in the use of AI in myeloma imaging and evaluation, and use of whole body imaging biomarkers such as ADC and fat fraction.
That all sounds really interesting, and you've obviously got extensive experience in myeloma imaging research. Thinking specifically about this paper, could you give us a brief overview of the paper and the main findings?
So this paper was a national survey of imaging practice in myeloma, and it was undertaken with the Clinical Radiology Audit and Quality Improvement Committee, and it was a follow-up survey. We'd undertaken a previous survey in 2017. So we were looking at imaging practice in myeloma, and we surveyed 114 centres across the UK with a college audit lead, and we asked them what their preferred first-line imaging test was in myeloma, what their alternate imaging test might be, and we asked about challenges to setting up an advanced imaging service in myeloma, and we asked quite tailored questions about practice in smouldering myeloma and in response assessment. And as I've mentioned, we had 114 responses, which was an improvement on our baseline work. And we found that, again, a skeletal survey was the preferred first-line imaging test in suspected or confirmed myeloma at 39% of centres, similar to previously. We also found that whole body MRI was undertaken first line in 27% of centres, which was a significant improvement. This was just under 10% previously. 19% of centres offered whole body CT first line, and 14% PET CT. We found again that skeletal survey was the preferred first line test in smouldering myeloma, and also in response assessments.
Sure. So as you've mentioned, a lot of centres are still using skeletal survey. In your opinion, what are the disadvantages of this?
Well, as we know, skeletal survey has many disadvantages. The major issue with skeletal survey is that it has a very poor sensitivity for bone disease detection in myeloma. And studies have shown that it has a false negative rate of up to 70% in myeloma. And this is because for a lytic bone lesion to be visible on an X-ray, there must be cortical destruction of at least 50%. And so imaging techniques which can directly assess the bone marrow, particularly MRI, are much more sensitive in detecting bone disease. As we know, X-ray-based techniques also fail to differentiate between generalised osteopenia and diffuse bone marrow disease, and clearly many patients who present with possible myeloma are at an age where they could also have generalised osteopenia. I think on a practical note, it's also important to state that skeletal survey is time consuming and complex, involving up to 20 x-rays, and may be poorly tolerated by patients with pain due to underlying bone lesions. And it's for these reasons that NICE guidelines state that skeletal survey should only be performed if it's not possible to perform whole body MRI or whole body CT.
You've clearly highlighted some of the disadvantages of skeletal survey there. Are there any other reasons why it's so important that advanced imaging, such as whole body MRI, is used?
Published studies to date suggest that whole body MRI is more sensitive than skeletal survey, but also PET CT and whole body CT in detection of focal myeloma bone lesions, with a sensitivity and specificity of greater than 80% in detection of focal lesions. And this is because the superior soft tissue contrast of MRI enables detection of focal bone lesions prior to cortical bone destruction, as we've already touched upon. Whole body MRI also performs particularly well in detection of diffuse bone marrow infiltration and may also detect extramedullary disease. With regards whole body MRI at diagnosis, as I've already stated, it is a sensitive technique and allows more accurate disease staging, which is therefore advantageous when patients undergo repeat imaging for response assessments, which in my centre frequently takes place, for example, following induction chemotherapy and following bone marrow transplantation. Whole body MRI clearly is a non-ionising technique, which is an advantage. These advanced techniques, namely PET CT and whole body MRI, can also give prognostic information. So 18F FDG PET CT is the more validated, accepted technique in providing prognostic information. So, for example, studies have shown that progression-free and overall survival are adversely affected by the presence of extramedullary disease, three or more focal lesions at baseline, and a maximum SCV value of greater than 4.2. But it's also thought that changes in diffusion imaging may carry prognostic information, and research into this area is ongoing.
Yep, so definitely a lot of compelling reasons there. Despite all these reasons and the guidelines advising otherwise, as you've shown in the survey, first-line use of skeletal survey remains very high. What are the main reasons for this? I know you've touched upon these in the paper, and how do you think they can be overcome?
So the main reasons stated by radiologists in our survey were scanner availability, reporting time, and financial limitations. Dedicated radiologist, radiographer and nuclear medicine technician training and protocol optimisation have also been stated as factors. And of course, many of these challenges are clearly related. We need more scanners capable of performing whole body MRI, more dedicated time on existing scanners, more radiologists, more MRI physicists, and of course, funding. In the first instance, the benefit to patients of advanced myeloma imaging, namely increased diagnostic and staging accuracy, increased sensitivity in treatment response assessment, and in patients with smouldering or asymptomatic myeloma, treatment at an earlier stage, needs to be emphasised by clinicians and radiologists at directorate or trust level, where financial decisions are made. It should also be highlighted that whole body MRI protocols with inclusion of contrast imaging can be completed in 45 minutes, and there is ongoing research to accelerate imaging yet maintaining imaging quality. And with regards to reporting, an experienced consultant can comfortably report a baseline study in about 15 minutes. Patients are also an essential tool for change. Organisations such as Myeloma UK and the UK Myeloma Forum hold patient education and support events, and we plan to share our survey results in the near future via these forums. Patients can then engage with their GP practices or directly with their local CCGs. With regards to radiologist training, several whole body MRI imaging courses are currently available. Additionally, 40% of the hospitals we surveyed would be willing to offer support to other departments considering setting up a whole body MRI or whole body CT service, which could include dedicated staff training, sharing of protocols and physicist support. And I think this is one of the very promising outcomes or potential outcomes of this work.
Yeah. Definitely. And of course, some of those things you mentioned, such as funding and scanner availability, might be slightly more difficult to overcome. But the other initiatives you mentioned regarding training and patient involvement definitely sound very, very positive. Obviously, you've mentioned dedicated training as being one of the contributing factors to relatively low use of the more advanced imaging. I just wondered whether you have any other advice for radiology departments or radiologists looking to set up this service in their hospital.
Again, just to go back to the survey, I was very pleased to note that 33% of centres surveyed stated that the survey itself had prompted them to consider setting up an advanced imaging service such as a whole body MRI or whole body CT service. As we've already touched upon, there are many centres which would support their neighbouring trusts in doing so. Going back to your question, as with setting up any new imaging service, clinician support is vital and will greatly strengthen a new service proposal. Radiologists and radiographer training are clearly important factors, which we have discussed, and can be addressed through bespoke courses and also through partnering with neighbouring trusts. And it's hoped that the college will be able to assist with this partnering process in the near future. Dual reporting of whole body MRI studies is standard practice in my department, and this allows one to develop your expertise in a supported environment and to discuss challenging cases. With regards to protocols, most modern MRI scanners will be capable of performing a standard whole body MRI protocol, and with regards to fusion weighted imaging, arguably the most sensitive sequence in bone disease detection and quantitation, high-performance gradients are an advantage. Dedicated MRI physicist involvement early in the planning process is therefore essential.
Thank you so much. I think you've set out some really important practical tips there for anyone who's interested, and hopefully you will have inspired some podcast listeners to take this forward further in their departments. Do you have any final comments?
Thank you for inviting me to talk to you today, and thank you to the RCR Clinical Audit and Quality Improvement Committee for their support in undertaking this survey.
Great, thank you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening. Read the article online and keep up to date with the latest clinical radiology news and articles via the website and Twitter page.